Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, your source for learning more about fly fishing in cold water, warm water, and salt water. Hello, I'm Roger Maves, your host for tonight's show. On this broadcast, we'll be featuring Ryan Anderson, and he'll be answering your most important questions on fly fishing Wyoming's Gray Reef. This show will be 90 minutes in length, and we're broadcasting live over the Internet. If you'd like to ask Ryan a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. And while you're there, make sure that you sign up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Just fill in your name and email address in the form on our homepage, and we'll keep you informed. This broadcast is being recorded and will be available for playback on our website within about 48 hours after the show ends. So if you have to leave early, you can return to our website at your convenience and listen to the broadcast at any time. The content of this broadcast is copyrighted and is the property of the Knowledge Group, Inc., doing business as Ask About Fly Fishing. Recordings or transcriptions of this program cannot be distributed or sold in any form. When we return, we'll be talking with Ryan Anderson about fly fishing Wyoming's Gray Reef. Whether fishing for trout in the Rocky Mountains, chasing silver salmon in Alaska, or jumping tarpon in the Florida Keys, the Platte River Fly Shop online store has all the top brands you need to gear up for your trip. We are Wyoming's largest Sims and Patagonia dealer, keeping a large variety of popular items in stock year-round. You might even find a great deal in our closeout section, from rods and reels to waders and boots. And if you're headed through Wyoming, make sure to put the Blue Ribbon North Platte River Tailwaters on your bucket list. Log on to WyomingFlyFishing.com today to check our store or give us a call at 307-237-5997. That's 307-237-5997 or WyomingFlyFishing.com. And just chat with our experienced fly shop staff. Before we introduce Ryan, we'd like to let you know about the great gifts we have to give away tonight. For our drawing tonight, we'll be giving away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to the Fly Fishing and Tying Journal. So you have two chances to win tonight in our drawing. Now, if you haven't registered yet for the drawing, you can do so now. Just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and look for the link under Ryan's section that says click here to register for our drawing. Click on that link and fill out the form, and we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. We'll also be giving away a dozen of the best flies to use on Gray Reef, courtesy of Ryan Anderson and his guide service in Wyoming. So you want to work with the best, and Ryan's going to give you 12 of the best flies to use up there on the river. Now, the way that you can win this is you've got to be the first person to answer a question we ask at the end of the show, and the question's going to be about something Ryan and I talk about during the show. So submit your answer and your name and location in the form on our homepage, that text box there, and be fast about it, and maybe you'll win that dozen flies from Ryan Anderson. Our guest tonight is Ryan Anderson. Ryan has been guiding for 17 years, two seasons in Alaska as a fly fishing guide, and 15 seasons on the North Platte. Ryan has fished all over the world, but truly loves his home water in Wyoming. He's a Casper native that grew up learning how to cast in the wind from his father and grandfather. You've got to know how to do that in Wyoming. He had a fly rod in his hand at age 5, and by 12 he was Dennis the Menace, but armed with a fly rod instead of a slingshot. The trout in the small mountain streams around Casper didn't stand a chance against this little trout punk. Now 35, Ryan is the owner of Wyoming Fly Fishing, Wyoming's premier guide service. Ryan truly loves the outdoors. Loves to be on the river and can always have a good time. As he puts it, I am lucky because I have been able to combine my passion with my livelihood. I knew that I wanted to do it from a very young age. I wanted to fly fish. Guiding someone into big trout and netting it is the closest thing I've found to fishing myself. For me, it's the same excitement, same adrenaline, everything. I love this job. Well, Ryan, welcome to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio.
Hey, Roger, how are you?
Good, good. You there? Okay. I heard something else. Like we got to mute some people out here. Hold on. There, that's better. I think that was Carol Owings doing dishes or something there, Carol. I just muted you out. Okay, good. We should be good to go here then. A couple more people on the phone. I'll get muted out. Okay. I think we're clear here, Ryan. So you still there?
I'm here, man.
Okay, good. Let me boost your volume up just a little bit, and we'll be set to go. All right. Did you have a beautiful day in Wyoming today?
We did, man. I was on the water all day today, and that's just great. Little wind, but it never blows up here, right?
No, a little wind is really good.
Yeah, it knocks the heat off a little bit, but
yeah, every time I drive past Casper on the way up to Montana, you know, my SUV is going up the road on two wheels, you know, because of the wind. So just sideways.
Yeah, it's it can blow pretty hard in the springtime, but no, as we get into summer, it's not bad at all. That wind really lays down as we get into June, July.
Hey, it's good casting practice for going down to the Keys, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, gotta where there's fish, there's wind. Usually, it seems like for some reason. Well, good. Well, tell us about Gray Reef. You know, we do have an international audience, and a lot of people haven't been up in your area. Tell us where it is and, you know, a little description of it to start, and then we'll kind of dig in more detail here in a minute on it.
Yeah, for sure. The Gray Reef is a tailwater below Alcova Reservoir, which is kind of right in the middle of Wyoming. It's about 20 minutes out of Casper. So it's a pretty short drive from Casper. From Denver, it's about 4 hours, just up I-25, right to Casper. And it's the second reservoir down. Third reservoir down is Alcova. So this water starts in Colorado and flows north into Seminole Reservoir. And then Miracle Mile is below that. We fish the Miracle Mile, too. And then below Miracle Mile is Pathfinder. And the outflow of Pathfinder is Fremont Canyon, and we fish that. And then below Fremont flows into Alcova, and then below that is the reef. And the Gray Reef is about 80 miles of river that you can float and fish. And, yeah, it's great.
So basically the fishable water there for Gray's Reef starts just below Gray Reef Dam? Is that
it? Does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we do a lot of trips up there, but you know, a lot of people get hung up on that upper 10 miles. It fishes really good all the way into Casper. It's all, you know, high numbers of wild-born fish.
Now, what kind of, what species of fish do you target in? Now, this is, we talk about Gray Reef, but it's just a section of really the North Platte, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of fish are we targeting there?
We're targeting the big rainbows mostly, but we do have all three. We have browns, rainbows, and cutthroats. But, you know, the star of the show are those big fat rainbows. You know, our fish per mile on that upper section is about 8,500. And, you know, most of those are going to be rainbows. But targeting those big browns is a lot of fun this time of year, tripping streamers for them. You know, those browns are a little bit more work, but they're big predators, and you can get away with stripping a big giant fly, and if you get one, it's pretty sweet.
Good, yeah. Now, what is these big rainbows? What's the average size, would you say, most of your clients get? And also, you know, what's a trophy fish?
Well, on that upper section, on that upper 10, the average fish is probably 17 to 18 inches long. They're big. It's a pretty crazy average, but they're big, fat, hard-fighting rainbows. But, you know, as far as trophies go, we see 23s, 24s, even 25-inch rainbows up there. As you get into those, to the browns, you know, in a season, I know last November we saw a 32-inch brown. We've already seen a couple of browns approaching 30 this year so far, stripping streamers. So those are the real big fish, but, I mean, getting big old 22-inch rainbow is definitely awesome, and we see a lot of those.
We'll see
those a few times a week for sure.
Oh, good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's those trophies are few and far between, but that's always one of our wishes.
The
premium river like the North Platte up there.
So
we're talking about the river. You said how many miles can be fished basically there in Gray's Reef that are good fishing?
Well, probably about 80.
80?
Down to Casper, right into town.
Okay.
It's about 80 miles long, and there's lots of boat ramps. It's nice access. And, you know, on that piece, there is a little bit of private land, but, you know, that first pretty much 3 miles on the left side is all public land. There's some real nice access, nice wading. And then once you get down below Government Bridge, which is at 10 miles, it's basically 8 miles of river both sides, public land. So, you know, it's for the folks that like to stop the boat and do a bit of wading, that's going to be a better section for you because there's no private land up there. You can kind of go wherever you want.
I'm just trying to, on Google, find that Government Bridge. Is that where 220 crosses the river?
It's the only place it crosses the river, yep.
Oh, okay. That makes it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Government Bridge. So the stretch from the dam down to Government Bridge is about how many miles?
That one's about 12.
About
12? You know,
12?
And they just bump the flows up. We just started really fishing that one hard because they just bumped the flows to 1,000 last night. And, you know, that makes that longer float a little better. You know, it's a pretty tall float at 500 CFS because you got to push through some frog water and it gets a little long. You're better off taking out at Lusby. But, you know, as you get up to 1,000 CFS, you might as well run it out to the bridge and get that extra 3 miles on there. It's really nice water. It has a lot of fish in it.
Now, if one wanted to float this themselves and not use a guide, are there float maps available for put-ins and takeouts, that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. We have a map here at the shop that the BLM puts together, and it has all the boat ramps and even the new ones. They've put in some new ones in the last few years down on that section I was talking about just a minute ago below Government Bridge. They put in 2 boat ramps on that dirt road that goes down there to access that. And it's nice because you can put in at Lusby and go down to what's called Whitetail, which would be 3 miles above and 3 miles below the bridge. So you eat lunch about the bridge, and it's a nice section. It has the same big fish that the upper section do, and you know, on a Saturday, if the upper section's a little busy, that's a real great plan B. That water's real off.
Now, so you're saying 12 miles would be kind of a long float on the river because of the CFS that is normally floating?
We did that float in 8 hours. I had guides, you know, floating that. You can do it in 8 hours. You just kind of one pass and stuff. But, you know, at this level, I mean, at 500 to 1,000. It just depends on how you like to fish. You know, if you want to get into the fish and stay on them and back row a hole 4 or 5 times, you know, you're better off shortening that up. But no, either one of those is a great way to spend the day going to Lesby or to the bridge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, 80 miles is a long stretch.
Yeah.
So is there, you know, you mentioned that, I guess, was the second section from Government on down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that generally less crowded than the upper section?
Yes.
Okay. And further down river, is it kind of do that? The further down the river that you go, the less crowded it gets?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, I think a lot of people like to be up on that upper because I think the size of rainbow goes up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Your average fish is going to be a little bit, or your average rainbow is going to be a little bit bigger in that upper 10. But actually, probably the upper 15 is those bigger fish. But, you know, you get down below and you just mix it up. I mean, it's amazing water. You just got to mix it up to find the big fish. You know, put away the bobber and get out the streamer, and there's definitely big fish along those banks. And that's probably my favorite water is some of the stuff below Government Bridge.
Now, we talked about these big rainbows, but Maury from Sisters on the Fly wrote in, and she said, I was just there and caught a 27-inch walleye, a battle for sure, but a great way to spend your birthday, so it must have been her birthday there.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that there's walleye in there, too.
You know, I think some of them have slipped through the dam, and we have walleye in Great Reef. We see a few of them a year, you know, nothing crazy, but yeah, we got one that was about that big this year on a guide trip, and he was caught and released into the peanut oil. We didn't we didn't put him back. But, no, it was pretty funny because we ended up taking him back to the guide service and we're filleting him out on the front of the porch and everybody was coming in on their guide trips. I had to assure everyone that no trout were harmed because we were going to do a little fish fry that night.
Oh,
But, yeah, you know, we see him and we take him out. because, you know, if a walleye that's getting that big isn't getting big from eating anything but rainbow trout, you know.
Yeah.
So when we catch those, we take them and eat them, you know.
Kind of like whitefish, huh?
Yeah, but we don't have any of those. I'm
happy
about that. No,
oh, wow.
No whitefish.
That's something. Yeah, I was,
yeah.
So do you figure that she probably caught that on a streamer? Maybe she was for
no,
browns
ones,
or something?
The ones that we picked up, you know, one of my guides, Ashby, he goes and targets those walleye, and he uses a white streamer. Mm-hmm. And picks them up that way. But I imagine Maury was probably nymphing. And that's how we picked up that big one earlier this spring, was just on a rock worm, just on a standard red worm. He
wow.
ate it. So, yeah.
So I guess that's probably a big surprise when you're going for a rainbow and you're going, what the hell do I have on here now?
Yeah, we thought it was a big brown because it kind of flashed gold. And,
yeah.
And yeah, it ended up being that big old walleye. So.
Interesting. Okay. Well, here's a question came in on the Internet. Let me grab this one, and then we'll take a quick break. It's Coy from Loveland, Colorado. I've been down the river in a drift boat, but would you recommend one-man pontoons on that section of the river?
You know, those guys do great when the wind isn't blowing. But, you know, I'm floating that section every day in the spring, and I've seen a lot of people have a bad day in those things. You know, if it's going to be a calm day, for sure, you know, you're going to get that nice long drift, same as we do with the boats. But you get wind involved, and it's going to be hard for you to get adrift, you know, because you're going to need to be on the oars, and you won't have a hand for your rod. And, you know, it can be a bad day. But, no, I mean, if you look at the weather and you see a calm day, I definitely recommend floating this river. It just gets you that nice long drift. You know, if you can get the right depth on your flies and get them down on the bottom and then float through the whole run, it's just so much more productive than, you know, just standing and waiting.
Yeah. We had a question from Lanford. Lanford, I got your question here, but I'm not sure what you mean by what should we use and how. So if you want to clarify that, then maybe we can get that answered. I'm not sure if you're looking for what flies to use in presentations or what you're thinking there. So clarify that for me, and we'll see if we can help you out. Okay, Ryan, we're going to take a quick break here and then come right back and dig more into what's happening up there on the North Platte. Housatonic River Outfitters offers the finest in fly fishing products in Connecticut and fly fishing guides on the Housatonic, Farmington, and other waters. You have the option of wade fishing trips or drifting the river with their guides. In addition to the spectacular trout fishing, they offer guided fly fishing trips and spin fishing trips for warm water species. Please tour their website at www.dryflies.com. That's www.dryflies.com. To view their fishing products and guide services they offer in both Connecticut and Massachusetts. They were the first fly shop in Connecticut to offer drift boat guide services and have the largest established guide service in New England. To learn more about the Housatonic River Outfitters, visit www.dryflies.com. If you're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, we're talking with Ryan Anderson about fly fishing Wyoming's Gray Reef. If you would like to ask Ryan a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Well, Ryan, at this point in my show, I always ask, you know, what's going on in your fly fishing world? So tell us about what's happening up there and a little bit about your business.
Well, we're right in the swing of things. It's busy. So we got everybody guiding. We're guiding a lot here on the North Platte. You know, we're guiding the Miracle Mile, we're doing Fremont Canyon, we're guiding Gray Reef, and, you know, all the way into Casper, spreading the boats out. We also have a permit over on the Bighorn in Thermopolis, and we've been guiding that water quite a bit. Cicadas are starting to pop over there, so getting to watch some big dry flies. And no, it's just been really good season. Our season is really long. We actually get started in February and, you know, fish the nice weather days in February, but full swing in March and all the way through to November. We have a really nice long season here on the Platte. But yeah, you know, it's just been a great season. I've been able to guide a lot lately and have just been really, really impressed with, you know, the quality of the fish that we're seeing.
What's your... If people want to learn more about your guide service, what's the website address?
WyomingFlyFishing.com. We were the first guide service and fly shop to start guiding the North Platte and the Gray Reef sections. We started guiding this river in 1987, which was actually a full 10 years before any of the other guide services. So, you know, we've been at it for a long time. And well, we have a really great staff of guides. I've brought in guides, friends of mine from Montana, brought them in, and brought some guys in from Jackson, and some good friends who've you know, been on the water for a lot of years and have been with me for, you know, I think our rookie guide's been guiding for about 5 years, so it's pretty cool. We all have a lot of fun out on the water together.
And how many guides do you have there?
We run 15 boats, but, you know, there's some part-time guides. We have about 20 that we have available. But
you call on,
all
yeah.
The same
yeah.
Day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good, 15 boats. Wow, that's quite the fleet.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, we spread them out. You know, we don't like to put too many boats in one section. We really like to spread out the pressure. And, you know, with all these tailwaters that surround us, it's pretty easy to do. You know, it's easy to get away from the boats. Mm-hmm. You know, early spring can be kind of crowded right up there at Gray Reef on a Saturday. But no, I mean, we always try to spread out our pressure and head out to the mile, fish a lot out at the Miracle Mile and do the Fremont Canyon. And, you know, like I said, over on the Bighorn is always a great place to fish as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many different floats would you say one could take on the river? You know, if you were spending a few days up there, a week, you know, how many different floats could you do to kind of get a feel of the whole section there?
Well, you could fish for 10 days up here and never do the same float, you know.
Yeah.
There's lots of places, you know, lots of little tricks because there's, you know, a lot of boat ramps. You say if you put in halfway down one section and add the next section and streamer fish the whole thing because you want to keep moving, you know, mm-hmm. You can get away from the boats that way. And, yeah, there's lots of ways, you know, you could spread out. But, I mean, I would say you can float out at the mile. There's a boat ramp out there. That's one. Then you have the reef. That's two. And then three is Lusby. And then on down there's about seven more. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably 15 to 20 boats or floats that you can do.
Wow.
On the North Platte, just right here, you know, within an hour of Casper.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of sections over on the Bighorn that we got below the Wedding of the Waters.
Trey Goings in Moscow, Idaho, wrote in and he asked, how's the wade fishing there in November? I know you said you have a long season. What is your season? And you know, you can answer his question in that.
Yeah. Our season, like I said, starts in February. Our off season, my guys keep getting mad at me because I'm shortening their off season. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of these guys like to go skiing, but our off season's only a couple months anymore. We get started in February and go all the way through till November. Mm-hmm. And you know, we just kind of fish around the weather, and it's really nice for people. I mean, we do guide in December and January, and it's nice for folks that live in Colorado because, you know, a lot of my guides, you know, my top five, like Cray Lutz and Greg Mueller and myself, all we do is guide, and so somebody can watch the seven-day forecast and give us a call, and we can put together a trip pretty much overnight. If you look at the weather and see something that you want to hit, you know, in like December, January, February, we can put that together pretty quick because we're not booked out.
Yeah.
Long ways. And there is always some nice breaks in the storm. And
to
answer the question, you know, same in November, you know, watch the weather, but November can have some of the best wade fishing on the Gray Reef. That's when the browns will head up to, they go up to Gray Reef as well. You know, they will run from these lower sections, you know, they'll run from all the way from the Narrows, you know, which is below Government Bridge. They'll run all the way up to the upper section to spawn. And, yeah, that's where we imped up that 32-incher last November in one of those upper holes. That's a really big brown. And, yeah, November can be just fantastic. You know, that moss is gone. The river's nice and clear. And, yeah.
Do they drop the water level in the fall?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. You know, they drop that pretty much first week of September usually, and they'll take it down to 500 CFS, and they keep it at that all the way through the winter. That's the winter flow. is 500 CFS. So, well, basically everything below Lesby will freeze. But, you know, you just got to be careful of anybody that's floating in the off season. You know, in like December and January, you just got to watch out for those ice shells. But, you know, if you give a call to us at the shop, we can let you know if it's open to float mm-hmm. down to Lesby. But yeah, I mean, it's fantastic fishing up there in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Can you kind of brief us on the Wyoming laws regarding access to the river? Because I know up there, because of the laws, you could maybe get yourself in a little trouble if you weren't with a guide.
it's pretty easy, actually. I mean, I don't want to scare people away from this awesome river and floating it in their own boat. You know, there's red and blue signs, and it's well marked. When you float to up to a blue sign, you can get out and stop below that. If you float up to a red sign, below that is private. That means that you can't drop your anchor or get out of the boat on that side of the river.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's pretty well marked then. Yeah.
Yes, it's very well marked. And, you know, the landowners on each side of the river own to the center of the bottom of the river. And so, you know, you don't want to drop your anchor. But there's plenty of public on all the floats. You know, you just keep an eye out for those blue signs. There's plenty of public to jump out and use the bathroom or stop and retie. You know, you just kind of have to plan ahead a little bit on those windy days. But I mean, this river is really awesome for fishing out of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do that pretty easily with the public and private land.
Well, and you mentioned,
the boat anyway.
Yeah, you had mentioned, you know, rowing back up the river to hit the same section
mm-hmm.
again. So I take it that that's done pretty regularly.
There's a lot of good holes where there's easy back rowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the main holes up there on the upper section is called the outhouse hole, also called Pete's Draw. And that's just a really long, classic run. And the back rowing is just a giant eddy, and it's super easy to just sit back up and come right through again. You know, you can do it four or five times and be very productive if you have the right length and the right bug, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you're doing on your, let's say, your average trip, do you spend more time in the boat or more time waiting?
More time in the boat.
Okay.
You know, if people like to weigh fish, we definitely work those into the trip. You know, if they like to get out and hit a spot, you know, we definitely try to work that in. But fishing from the boat and getting that nice long presentation is probably the most productive.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the most productive as far as streamer fishing goes. And, you know, that's probably my favorite way to fish this river. And, you know, with the boat, you're going to be floating along the bank and never looking at the same piece of water. You know, always banging a little pocket or under a tree. And that's where those big fish like to hide. So, we love fishing out of the boat.
Ryan from Westminster, Colorado, wrote in and asked, if you were going to visit the North Platte for 2 days fishing, would you fish Gray Reef, Fremont Canyon, or try to hit one area for 1 day and another the next?
Well, if you only have 2 days, you're probably not going to want to leave Gray Reef because, you know, it's just fishing that good. But just to confuse my answer, if you have not been to Fremont Canyon, that's definitely something that you want to check out. Fremont Canyon is the smaller piece of water. They keep that at about 100 to 200 CFS. And they run the majority of the water between those dams in a tube under the mountain. And so it's got the same big fish that Gray Reef does, but it's a little more intimate water. It's little pockets, boulders. You know, you can throw some dry flies in there, but it has those same big North Platte fish. So that can be a fantastic day, too.
Fremont Canyon, is part of the North Platte, too?
It is. It's just the next tailwater up.
Okay.
So Gray Reef is coming out of Alcova, and Fremont Canyon is going in.
And then what about Miracle Mile you've got up there, too, right?
Yeah, Miracle Mile is a great place to fish. I think that Ryan's just going to have to come up for about 4 or 5 days instead of two.
There you go. There's never enough time.
The Miracle Mile is fishing fantastic right now as well. So
yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
you can go wrong. You know, if you find a piece of water that you like, with only 2 days, I'd probably go back in there the second day too. So
yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Steve Perry from Colorado Springs wrote in and says, Ryan, thanks for helping Project Healing Waters fly fishing through the years. You are the man on the Gray Reef. Can you please talk about local areas for camping and lodging?
Yeah, for sure. And, no, we love Steve, and we love fishing with the soldiers. We do about 6 days a year with them. They bring up a big group, and we just have a blast with those guys. It's one of the funnest trips of the year.
We did do a show with Steve not too long ago about Project Healing Waters. So if people want to go back in the archive and listen to that show, you'll learn all about the great things they're doing.
Yeah, it's an awesome program. But anyway, lodging and camping, you know, lots of our guys just stay in Casper. There's some nice hotels here in Casper. And we just meet them at the fly shop and then head out. That's pretty simple. Then you can eat in the local restaurants here in town and stuff. But, no, there's cabins. You know, Red Butte Ranch is a great place to stay. That's right on the water. We put a lot of people there. As far as camping goes, there's some great camping back to that section below Government Bridge. You know, the BLM has sunk some money in there, and they've improved the campsites. And see, there's Chalk Butte is a great place to camp. I want to say there's about 15 sites there, and the majority of them are right on the water. And then Buffalo Berry is another one, and I want to say there's another 10 sites there. Great place to camp. That's kind of away from everything. If you have all your stuff packed for a few days of camping, that's going to get you, you know, remote and really nice. But if you want to be closer to Alcova, closer to the Gray Reef itself, then I'd probably send you, there's some sites right at Gray Reef Dam, and there's more down at Pete's Draw, which is the outhouse hole, which is a great place to wade fish in the morning and evening. So, you know, you can just pop out there before breakfast and after dinner, and it's another good spot. So.
Yeah, good. We had a couple questions here about equipment, so let's talk about equipment. Boris from Ohio wrote in and said, what rod setups do you find best for Gray Reef? Length, weight, action, and also terminal tackle setup.
Well, you know, for your standard nymphing, we recommend 6 weights. You know, a 5 weight is a little light. You know, if you have a good stiff 5, you can make it work. But, you know, these fish are big and they pull hard. And especially with the wind, a 6 is generally just a better rod to fish on the reef. And the reel is actually more important than the rod as far as nymphing goes up there, because you don't have to cast all that far. But once you hook that big fish, he's going to run you out there that far. You know, he's going to take off to the other side of the river. So, you know, reel is real important. You need a good smooth drag, you know, something that's going to slow that big fish down when he's taken off. As far as the rod length, 9 to 10 feet, it's pretty standard. You know, we use just floating lines on that stuff. And, you know, depending on the time of year, as far as like actual length of leader, we really like to mini rig, go short, do just, you know, about 3 feet from your trike indicator down to your weight, and get the bug of the day on there. And it's fun to get those fish in a little bit skinnier water. And those suspended fish that are really feeding hard in the ripples. But you got to get deep some days, too. We'll lengthen them out and go 6 feet to the leader. It just depends on the conditions and the time of year.
Right. Well, let's take another quick break here, and then we'll come back, talk a little bit more about maybe some streamer fishing here that Boris wants to talk about. Front Range Anglers, a full-service fly shop located in Boulder, Colorado, provides premium tackle and comprehensive instruction and guide services to fly fishers across the country. In business for over 31 years and with a staff that averages 20 years of experience, they will give you the straight story on gear, places to fish, flies, and techniques. They publish a monthly newsletter that is one of the most informative and insightful electronic magazines in the industry. Find out more about the premier shop by logging onto their website at www.frontrangeanglers.com. That's www.frontrangeanglers.com. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We're talking with Ryan Anderson about fly fishing Wyoming's Gray Reef. If you'd like to ask Ryan a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box there to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay. Yeah, Boris again wrote in and asked, he says, well, could you describe your streamer rig terminal tackle and technique? And in parentheses, he put in, Ryan taught me how to fish streamers for big trout. So you must have given Boris a few tips along the way.
Yeah, he must have forgot, I guess.
he just wants to relive the memory, I think.
Yeah. You know, this time of year, we like to streamer fish with actually just a small piece of lead core on the end of a floating line. Then about, let's see, probably 2 feet to 3 feet of, you know, good stiff tippet. You know, I fish 15-pound. I like that cable because when you throw a little far and you get into the brush, then you don't break off your $5 fly. You know, you want to fish some big tippets. You know, anything 15 pounds or heavier is going to be good. But you know, as far as the rig that I think he's referring to, I like lead core trolling line. And it's just something that you pick up at, you know, like your sporting goods store. You want to get it in a nice heavy strength. I think they make it in like 15 to 20 pound. I always buy the 20 pound, and you take about 3 feet and tie a perfection loop in each end, and then just stick that onto your the loop of your fly line, and then you do a loop on the other end and put your tippet on there, and so the whole thing's about 6 feet, 3 feet of lead core, 3 feet of tippet, and you know that lead core is great because if you go into a fly shop and you buy those poly leaders, they're like 10 to 15 bucks a piece, and you can tie 100 of them out of one spool of that lead core trolling line. But you got to spool off the bright colors. You know, it's actually color coded stuff. So you know, you spool off your reds and your yellows, and you know, tie your leaders out of the browns and the greens and the black.
Interesting. Yeah. And so that adds some weight to your tippet and gets it down there quicker.
And it sinks it does that. It sinks about the of a good heavy fly, and you want that kind of uniform sink. I just kind of steer away from really long sinking tips. If you get a 25-foot sinking head, when you get a nice long streamer presentation off the bank, you know, all that line's just sinking, and sometimes when you get that grab, you peel up and go to and strip and set the hook, and all you feel is water weight. You know, with the floating line all the way to the bank and then just the tip sunk down, when you set the hook, you can peel all that floating line off and really pin that fish.
Right.
And it works a lot better for us here on the North Platte. Plus, a lot of our big fish are coming out of, you know, a foot of water, 2 feet of water, you know, swimming off the bank.
So, yeah, it sounds like Kelly Gallup's world. We did a show with him about streamer fishing of just hammer in the bank up there on the Madison.
Yeah. We got really nice banks, you know, on those lower sections and big, nasty, articulated streamers.
Yeah. You know, do you use some of the patterns that Kelly's developed? Are those popular up there, or do you have
different
patterns?
Oh, yeah, those work great. Yeah, we'll fish some of those. I throw the yellow sex dungeon every once in a while. That's a good bug. And I'm actually tying up a big nasty here in my office right now. It's got a lot of yellow in it and a lot of rubber legs and some flash. Something that is loud just to make them mad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other conventional streamers that you use that people would know
about? Oh, yeah,
for
sure. You know, just Mark Benham that owns the Platte River Fly Shop, you know, I use a lot of his. The Vanilla Bugger is a great one. The BMB is a good one. Your Bow River Bugger is another good streamer as far as the single flies go. And then, you know, articulated gongas in the tan, big and white can work. As far as the streamers go, it's kind of your favorite streamer. You know, I don't think that there is any magical streamer that's going to catch you that big fish. You know, I think if you put a big streamer in front of a big fish at the right time, it's going to happen. You know, we experiment a lot. All my guides are always getting out the big bunny box and tying up some big gnarly flies and going and testing them out. You know, that's what's fun.
Yeah. So if it's not working, change up, right? And
just change the color, you know, change the size. Yeah. Just mix it up, man. That's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah. What are, you know, we're talking about streamers here, but what are the primary food sources on the river?
Well, you know, it's been really interesting in the time that I've spent on this river to see it shift from when we first started guiding, it was all about scuds and your tailwater stuff. And to see the river change and shift to mostly mayflies has been really neat. Mayflies is a huge food source for these fish. You know, in the spring it's the blue-winged olive, and then as you get into the summer it's PMD. And you catch these big fat rainbows, and some days and they're just gorging themselves so hard that a whole pile of them will fall out of their mouth when you put them in the net, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is, again, what's your seasonal calendar for hatches look like? Can you kind of run us through?
Yeah, for sure. You know, spring, as far as bugs go, it's all about midges. You know, we have those aquatic annelids, the red ones. So, you know, a red worm and a midge are going to be a great fly late winter, early spring, right in there. And then as we get into spring, we're always excited to see the blue-winged olive show up, because once that starts happening, those fish just go crazy. And so you get your midges and your blue wings, and then the PMDs start showing up. They just started showing up recently. And with the PMDs in summertime, you get a ton of bugs. That's when there's just a ton of different insects in the river. Caddis, we get a lot of caddis, seeing caddis hatches in the backyard here recently. And yellow sallies that come around this time of year in the summer. And here in another month, we'll probably start fishing those trichos. They're going to show up. And that's always a fun hatch. The upper section kind of goes crazy on those trichos. And, you know, you can throw a dry fly and spinner and get into those fish pretty good on top. And then as we get into fall, we get a second hatch of blue wings. And for whatever reason, that's a fantastic hatch to fish. The fish just really seem to come up more in the fall for those blue wings. So if you get a nice cloudy day, you can pretty much dry fly fish all day. So That's one of my favorite hatches to fish. And, yeah, that's kind of it as far as the bugs go. Then we kind of shift back over to midges as you get into wintertime. But, you know, there can be some fantastic hopper fishing in August. 2 years ago we had just a crazy hopper year, and those fish were really slamming them. And last year we had some good days on hoppers, not quite the hatch that we had the previous year. But, yeah, we're hoping for another one this year. That's always always fun to see a big fish come up and crush a big foam hopper, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, let's talk a bit about, you know, your approach to fishing the river. So it sounds like, you know, there's some outstanding dry fly fishing, some good nymph fishing, and also some awesome streamer fishing. So, you know, when you go out tomorrow morning, how do you lay out the day? You know, you're taking a client out. How do you look at the river? How do you decide what you're going to do that day? How are you going to start out? And when do you start mixing things up?
Well, it just depends on what people like to do. You know, if people love to throw dry flies, if it's really sunny out tomorrow, I probably won't be able to pull that one out of my hat, but we can definitely try. But, you know, as you just probably start out nymphing. You know, on a typical guide day, I like to get them catching fish. Everybody likes to catch fish. You know, nymphing is definitely the most productive way. And so we usually start out nymph fishing and, you know, fish that till noon and kind of check back in with them and, you know, see what they're feeling. If they want to, you know, keep catching fish, then we'll do that. But, you know, if they want to roll the dice and throw a big nasty streamer, we'll go head hunting, you know.
Mm-hmm. So is streamer fishing something that you do all year long, basically, mixing it in with whatever?
Yeah.
Hatches
yep.
on? Yeah.
Yep. We can, you know, not so much in the winter. You know, you can do it, but you got to really slow that fly down. You know, for the streamer junkies that come up here and fish with us a lot, it's not as much fun. You know, they like to rip that bug off the bank. And a lot of times you can see these big fish climb on, which is really neat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Blanford had written in on the Internet. He said he's doing a two-day float trip from Alcova downstream for 8 miles each day in a dory with his son on July 5th and 6th. He wanted to know, what should we use and how? And he clarified that by saying he wants to know what flies, nymph streamers, PMDs, San Juan worms, or what. Is that time of the year is better for one of these things than the other?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when putting at the reef the first day, I would start with, like a red rockworm and, you know, maybe a PMD. You know, so something kind of small. You want to be fishing some 4X probably up there. And, you know, you're going to be able to catch a lot of fish right up there at the top. But that PMD is going to be the ticket. You probably want, as you get down a little further on the first day, you get around Lusby. You can put that that red San Juan that you were asking about on. You know, the water down there has a little, there's a little more mud on the bottom, and there's more worms, and you can get away with that big red San Juan worm. So I'd probably swap out the rockworm. I'd probably swap the rockworm for the big red San Juan worm as you get down there. And then, you know, as you float below on the second day, you can throw some leeches. You can use some bigger tippets. You know, they like bigger flies as the further that you get down. And you might lose a little bit of your clarity as you get down there, which can be a good thing. You don't have to cast all that far. A lot of times that upper section water is really clear. And, you know, as you get down a little further, you can get away with a little bigger tippet and some bigger flies.
You had mentioned earlier, you know, you'd mentioned some rather large tippet all the way along here for nymphing, 4X or something, I think you said earlier.
That's not big, is it? leave your 5X.
That's like rope.
Leave your 5X at home, ladies and gentlemen, because you
really
don't need it up here. No, these fish are not tippet shy. Mm. You know, 4X is the smallest that I carry in the boat.
For doing nymphing and
Yeah, for dry flies, you know, for dry flies I throw 4X. For nymphing, I'll throw 4X. Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
The biggest that you can cram through the eye of that hook.
Well, that's at least for the old guys, you know, at least we can see 4X. And then the question is the eye of the hook, you know. That's the second challenge.
Yeah, for sure. But no, these are big, strong fish, and I mean they'll break 4X on the first head shake some days. You
really?
Know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's exciting to think about, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. We had Dave Lehman in Lakewood, Colorado, wrote in, and he says, "My first few floats on the reef were great, but the last few have been tough. Have the fish gotten educated? Or do you guides just have to keep tying new flies to find the money patterns that work for a while and then find new ones when they quit producing?" Is that, you know, I mean, a lot of people when they go to, not Gray's Reef, but other places, you know, always wonder about that, you know, is the fly patterns wear out and, you know, the fish get, you know, knowledgeable about those patterns, and do you have to switch up every couple of years, or is that just an old wives' tale?
You know, I haven't found that here. We are always, you know, trying to find that new, you know, magic bullet. Mm-hmm. We're always, you know, tying flies and trying them out and testing them out and that kind of thing. But no, I mean, as far as this river goes, if you look at the red rockworm, I mean, it worked when I started, you know, in the beginning, and it still works today. It works great. You know, that was I was fishing two of them today, and that was the ticket. You know, just that standard red worm, and it's just basically red thread on a hook. There's not much to it, and those fish just go bonkers for it. But, no, I mean, if he came up and had some great floats and then came up and had some tough ones, you know, I would just, as far as the reef goes, I always play with, because it sounds like he has some bugs that he's confident in. I always change my length and my weight before I change the bugs that I know those fish are going to eat. You know, if you're fishing a red rockworm and, you know, a black midge, and you've had great days this time of year on that rig, I would play with your length and your weight for sure, because maybe they've slid over in there in the shallows, or, you know, maybe they're down deep. Maybe you try to dredge a hole, put on an AB weight, and lengthen out a little bit. I would probably steer him towards playing with the length and the depth before he cuts off those confidence buds, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because like you say, you know, the rockworm is a known favorite,
yep,
and should be getting some fish. So,
yep.
And, you know, we've talked a lot of the guests on our shows, and I don't know how many times I've heard it's more about getting the bug in the right place than the bug itself.
And yeah.
If you're into the fish, then a lot of things will work. But if
yeah,
you're not into the fish, nothing's going to work. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we're some days when we're on group trips, we'll get back to the shop, you know, and all my guides and I will compare notes, and nobody was fishing with the same thing, and everybody had to break it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just...
And they all caught fish, right?
On the day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, let me take another quick break here, Ryan, and then we'll come back and dig into a bit more about Gray's Reef on the North Platte.
Sounds good.
Have you ever dreamed about the classic actions of bamboo fly rods? Did you know that it's possible for you to make your own bamboo fly rods? With the help of Power Fibers Online Magazine, you can do just that. Power Fibers is a magazine dedicated to making bamboo fly rods and telling the stories about bamboo through the ages. From rod-making techniques to stories about fishing bamboo rods to rod-maker profiles to classic tapers, Power Fibers has it all. Visit their website at www.powerfibers.com. That's www.powerfibers.com. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We're talking with Ryan Anderson about fly fishing Wyoming's Gray Reef. If you'd like to ask Ryan a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, Ryan, you know, you grew up in Casper. You fished on the river for, 15 years, I think we said.
That's how long I guided. I fished it quite a bit before that.
Oh, yeah, that's guiding, right. So you basically were born on the banks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Pretty close.
This river is pretty special, and
we're
pretty lucky to fish it as long as we have.
What have you seen change since, you know, you can remember, and, you know, fishing the river? Has the river changed much? Have the fish changed much?
It has. It's changed a lot. You know, the Gray Reef is really a success story in that, you know, the flush and flow where, you know, every spring they open up that dam and they push, you know, a large volume of water down it. It cleans out the silt and it exposes the pea gravel for the spawning rainbows. And, you know, to float the Gray Reef in the spring anymore is amazing. I mean, I can only compare it to my time in Alaska. I mean, you can float over 1,000 fish spawning on red. You know, these are all wild-born fish, and it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, the wild fish is really neat, and it's definitely worth protecting. But, you know, as far as the changes that I've seen over the time that I've been here, it's just gotten better. You know, there's more numbers. The size is great. You know, we do have some big fish here, and then, you know, you'll see some smaller ones, but, you know, big, fat, healthy fish. As far as the character of the river, we had some years where we had, we actually had 9,000, you know, to 11,000 come down this thing, which is well out of the banks. And so it's the river itself has changed, the holes have changed. And so it's fun. You get to, you know, figure them out again, find that little bucket where they like to sit. So,
yeah.
You know, the river's changed. But for the better, wild-born fish is something that's pretty special, and we love it.
Yeah. Now, so there's no stocking being done in the river in
nope.
that section?
Nope.
No.
That's cool. It's really cool. And, going back to talking about the spawning, we never, ever target those fish when they're spawning. We let them do their thing, and folks that come up and fish the reef in the spring just be real careful of the blonde spots. You know, those fish are really easy to catch, but please try to leave them alone because they're making more for us every year. And, you know, there's always plenty of big, fat silver fish in the runs, which is another interesting thing that I've noticed is, you know, there's so many different strains of rainbows. When they originally stocked it, there was kind of a melting pot. The Game and Fish was putting a lot of different rainbow in. And so these fish basically spawn from February till June. there's always different fish on the reds, and there's always, you know, big silver fish in the river or in the runs. So it's really cool, and you should never have to, you know, go target those spawning fish because there's always big fat ones in the runs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to see some of those big fat ones, if you just go out and Google gray reef fly fishing and go to images, you'll see just a ton of huge fish.
Yeah. And it's really fun to, you know, on a float trip, you know, go ahead and float over them because it's really neat, you know. We, you know, we'll pull the rods in and, you know, stand up in the boat. And if you got some good polarized lenses, you can see some really big, awesome fish. And, yeah, it's real special. And then, you know, float on down and hit them in the run.
Yeah, it looks like one of the pictures I'm looking out here is a catfish.
That's probably further downriver, Roger.
Yeah. But that's what it looks like anyway. Yeah, yeah. Well, as the water gets warmer, then I suppose on downriver there's probably some smallmouth and catfish. And
oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. When the fishing really gets tough on the river, you're having a tough day out there in the boat, nothing seems to be working, what do you do? You know, what's your next step when those days happen? Because we all have those days, but you guys see so many days that when you guys hit a bad day, tough day, it makes it doubly tough, I suppose, because you've got a client in the boat, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, our tough days are probably not as tough as some other days because, you know, we can always find fish on this river, and I've never actually got skunked, knock on wood, so... You know, but no, if the fish is slow, like I was touching on before, length and weight, you know, especially in the early spring, which is the time when a lot of people like to come up and fish here, play with your length and play with your weight before you cut off those bugs that you like, you know, and then start exploring, you know, your different patterns that you know are in there, you know, utilize local knowledge, you know, ask what kind of bugs are out there and then put your own little spin on it. But yeah, I would say that the main thing would be length and weight. If you're having a tough day in the summer, one thing I like to tell people is, you know, a lot of guys will come up, you know, they'll fish in the spring and then they'll come up in the summer and they'll say, well, this doesn't look the same, you know, there's more water. And they'll get confused and maybe not be fishing in the right places. Here on the Gray Reef section of the North Platte and a lot of tailwaters, you really want to utilize inside corners. You know, where the river bends around, you know, especially when you get a lot of volume in a river, those fish are going to go suck on that inside corner because they're not going to expend as much energy and they can still grab those bugs, you know, still be on the buffet line. So that's a great place to find fish. You know, they might not be in the outhouse hole. They might be down on the corner where it's a little softer and they can still, you know, eat all those bugs but aren't expending as much energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, good tip. When you're taking clients out nymphing, are you putting strike indicators on her, or do you go without strike indicators? What's your preference?
No, we rock strike indicators.
Okay.
You know, I think it's just a better way to get a nice long drift. I mean, you can do it without an indicator, but I think it just kind of defeats the purpose of getting that nice long drift.
Especially from the boat.
It's a lot harder. You know, if you're tight lining or doing stuff, you know, with you know, mountain streams and bead heads and stuff, I, you know, totally agree with nymphing those and putting a little action in, you know, maybe check nymphing a little bit, dragging it downstream. But, you know, they really love a dead drift here on the North Platte. You get that perfect dead drift, you're going to catch fish in it, and it won't matter what flies on there, you know.
Yeah. Larry from Pinedale, Wyoming, wrote in, says, Brian, I only fish over there once or twice a year, and it's usually early in the year and then late. But I've been there in August when the weeds were terrible. How do you recommend fishing the North Platte during that time of year? So do you get a weed bloom in August?
We can, but you know, the last 5 years we've guided straight through and done great. You know, I think Larry was probably up at the upper section, and, you know, those weed mats do grow out in a lot of those classic holes, you know, like the outhouse hole, the cable hole, the junkyard, and then up at the boat ramp. You know, those do get choked in a little bit with moss, But where I would probably steer him is below Government Bridge. Actually, as you get further downriver, the grass mats are a lot less. And there's some fantastic dry fly fishing down there that time of year. And that's usually where we're doing our guiding in the summer, you know, August. We don't do much up at the reef. We mostly go below Government Bridge in August because of those weed mats. But no, don't, you know, definitely come and fish in August because it's fantastic. But I would just go a little further downstream, check out some new water.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, one final, this is from Boris in Ohio again, and he said, Ryan Anderson is a brilliant guide. My times in the North Platte with him and his outstanding crew of skilled, enthusiastic, and hardworking guides provided me with memories I will cherish for a lifetime. He says, ask Ryan to tell you the story of the mouse fly he wore on his hat.
Well, thank you, Boris, for your kind words. But the mouse fly, oh, man, that's, I don't know if you have a long enough show. But
oh, sure, we got lots of minutes up there as well.
I'll try to shorten it up. But no, it was we were up in the mountains, actually. It was not on the North Platte, but so I was fishing with my younger brother, who's also a fly fishing guide, and we were catching a bunch of fish on this little mountain stream, and kind of sitting around and popped a beer, and it was getting late in the evening, and he said, all right, let's see who can catch a fish on the weirdest fly. And I had gotten back from Chile, and I had a Chilean mouse fly in my box, and I was like, all right, I got this, you know, I can get a fish to eat this fly. And so I tied it on and, you know, fished it, got dark, didn't catch anything, so hooked it on my hat and was hiking back to camp and, you know, hiked back up there. We had dinner, went to sleep, and then we started fishing the next morning. And we were going to eat fish that night, and so we were going to take a couple out of the creek. And threw into this first hole, threw a little streamer up against the bank, hooked this real nice, you know, 18-inch rainbow off the wall, and brought it in and you know, bonked him for dinner. But went to clean the fish and cut into the belly, and I saw all this fur, all this hair in there. And I said, holy cow, they do eat mice. And I opened it up a little further, and it was my Chilean mouse fly from the night before. It had fallen off my hat, floated down the river a quarter mile, and that fish ate it in the middle of the night, and then I caught him the next morning. So.
Oh, is that a one-in-a-million chance, huh?
Yeah, I went and bought a lottery ticket that day, too, but I didn't win.
My gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. So I was glad that I got to, you know, harvest that fish and eat him for dinner, because that was a big old fly to have in his belly. You know, it had a pretty good hook on it. So.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. Well, that's a story I've never heard before. So.
Yeah.
I've heard about catching the same fish again, you know, but...
we do that, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. It's got to be true. It's so weird of a story. So.
Yeah. That kind of stuff doesn't really happen all that often, though.
Oh, geez.
But I was excited that he ate a mouse, you know. I did take some more mites up there, and we started fishing them at night and actually picked up a couple fish. So,
well, that, for nighttime fishing, mice can be great patterns. You know, I know like in Mongolia and the Taiman and stuff, they kill mice. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We did get another question here on the Internet. Phil wrote in and says, where can I get a shuttle for a good price? Good question.
Sloan's, right out at Alcova. We do all of our shuttles through them. They take great care of us. Brian out there runs a great operation, and he does all of our shuttles. And I think it's about $20, and yeah, they'll take you just about anywhere above Casper. You know, they run the whole thing, and yeah, that's.
Is that something you can arrange out of your shop if somebody comes into your shop, or?
Yeah, we'll just call out there for you. You know, stop in, get some flies. We can call your shuttle in and tell you where to put in, that kind of thing.
And where's your shop in relationship to the dam and to Casper? Are you closer to Casper?
We're just on the outside. We're closer to Casper. We're just on the way out to the fishing.
Okay.
We're just on the outside of Casper on the left-hand side, little red schoolhouse.
And so you have, like, what, about a 30-minute ride to put in, usually? Is that?
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes.
20 minutes? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get some idea of the timing there. Oh, and Trey Goings in Moscow, Idaho wrote in on the Internet here. What size red rock worm? Can you describe the fly a little bit more?
Sorry, you Roger, there? You're breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're breaking up too. Can you hear me now? See if this phone line settles down.
Can you hear me, Roger?
No, you sound like you're underwater.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, sorry.
Whatever you did.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, okay. So Treg asked, what size red rock worm do you use, and can you describe the fly a little bit more?
The red rock worm is basically just red larva lace.
You're breaking
tied
up
around
again. Ryan, you're breaking up again.
Uh-oh.
Hey, folks, if you can write in, is it just Ryan or is it me, too, that's sounding like we're underwater? Let me know. I'm not sure if it's the whole line or...
Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I don't know what's happened.
It's weird.
You know.
See if you can answer Treg's question again, because we couldn't really hear you.
Okay, yeah, the red rockworm is basically red thread on a hook. You know, it's tied with larva lace. You just red larva. Yeah, the stretch tubing.
Yep.
Yeah, you just tie that around either a scud hook or like a 270 soft bend. And, you know, size 14s are pretty money. So that's probably my most used size. But there's days where they like a big old 12 or, you know, maybe a little smaller one, go to a 16.
Okay. That larva lace, is it, do you fill the lace with oil or do you just use it empty? Ryan, can you hear me? Ryan?
Hello?
Yeah. I don't know if you can hear me, Ryan, but I'm having... everybody says they can hear us fine, but we can't hear each other. Let's see here. A really weird thing. Can you... Ryan, can you hang up and dial back in? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hang up and dial back in just to see if that makes a difference? And
because I have great service here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, it could be the conference line or something. I'm going to try to move along here with a few things, but I'd like you to be around here at the end, so if you can dial out and dial back in, maybe that'll cure the problem, okay?
Okay, I'll call back.
Okay, thanks. Okay, folks, well, anyway, time to wrap things up here, so we'll move along here. Anyway, we're getting ready to give away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to Fly Fishing and Tying Journal. We'll also be giving away that dozen of the best flies to be used on the Great Reef, courtesy of Ryan Anderson. So stick with us here a couple more minutes, and we'll give those away. Reeling and Healing Midwest is a nonprofit organization that champions fly fishing retreats for women surviving and battling all types of cancer. Their mission is to introduce women to the healing powers of the sport of fly fishing and provide a one-of-a-kind experience on and off the water. This is accomplished through the elements of fly fishing, positive camaraderie, peer coaching, nature and support network, which in turn renews the spirit and hope of each participant. Reeling and Healing Midwest is in need of trout flies, waders, leaders, fishing equipment, and other items. To view their current wish list and to learn how you can support their retreats, visit www.reelingandhealingmidwest.org. That's reelingandhealingmidwest.org. Or call them at 866-237-5725. That's 866-237-5725. Just a quick reminder to everyone, before you leave the website tonight, please take a minute and give us your feedback about the show. You can find our link on our homepage in the section under tonight's show that says, what did you think of this show? just click on that link and leave your comments. We'd really appreciate it. Well, now it's time to give away a few prizes here. And our winners are randomly selected from this show's registration database. If you didn't register for tonight's show, it's too late now, but make sure you do so for our next show, and then you'll have a chance to win one of these great prizes. Now, the lucky winner tonight on either of these drawings will contact you after the show ends by email and get the information we need so that we can deliver the prize to you. Okay, the first thing we're going to give away is a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers. If you want to learn more about the Federation of Fly Fishers, go to fedflyfishers.org. That's fedflyfishers.org. It's a great organization to support and be part of. And so even if you don't win, go check it out and join up. Our winner tonight is Gil Coleman in Colorado. Gil Coleman. Congratulations.
Hey, Roger. I'm here, Roger. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
You sound loud and clear now, so I don't know what was. We'll see. Just keep your fingers crossed there.
Okay. Yeah, that should work, I hope.
Okay. Now we're going to give away a one-year subscription to Fly Fishing and Tying Journal, and you can learn, this is courtesy of Amato Books. You can learn more about the publications that Amato has at amatobooks.com. They have both books and magazines as well, so check it out. And thanks for them for providing this subscription tonight. And the winner for that is Richard Coley in Alberta, Canada. So, Richard, congratulations. Richard Coley in Alberta, Canada. Enjoy that subscription. Okay, now, the dozen flies from Ryan up there, the ones he likes to use most on the Gray Reef, is what we're going to give away next. And, I'm just trying to clear my queue here. Okay, so here's the question. First person that answers it correctly will win the dozen flies. So early in the show, Ryan said that there's quite a few miles that you could fish on Gray Reef. How many miles of fishable water did he say there were to fish in Gray Reef? So how many miles of fishable water there? And... nope, 17 isn't it. Is it, Ryan?
Nope.
We got to do better than that. Let's see. Oh, Boris.
Hey.
Boris has been there before. Boris says 80.
That's correct. He can pick those flies up when he comes fishing with me.
There you go, Boris.
Yeah.
So Boris is out in Ohio, so he's got a ways to go to get to Gray Reef, but he's been there before and obviously loves it. So Boris, congratulations. You're the winner. You got the answer correctly, so congratulations. And I'll see if I can't convince Ryan to stick those flies in the mail to you. So
I'll do it, Boris. I'm actually spinning some up right now, so. We'll get you some hot off the vise, my friend.
Okay, there you go. So, Boris, send me your address, and you can use the same text box you just sent your answer in. And I've got your name. I've got your email address. I just need your mailing address, and then we'll get that taken care of. So congratulations, and thanks for playing, all of you out there. Let's just see. Oh, next answer was correct, too. Next answer was correct. Next answer. Oh, a lot of correct answers. Oh, that one's wrong. Hey, thanks for playing, folks. It's a lot of fun when you do, so we enjoy it. Well, Ryan, I really appreciate you being on the show with us tonight. It was fun talking to you about Gray Reef, and makes me, when you said 4 hours away from, did you say 4 hours from Denver?
Yes, sir.
That's not very far. I should grab my boat and get up there.
I got some slots next week, Roger. I can pencil you in if you want, buddy.
Yeah, and that's I got to get my son to go with me because usually what we do is we go to a place and hire a guide for the first day so we get to know a little bit about the river and then take our own boat out.
For sure. And you know, you could float the reef one day and then go check out Fremont Canyon. That's a beautiful piece of water.
Can you float Fremont as well?
No, no, that's the small one.
That's just all weight fishing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for being on the show and taking your time with us. I know you've had a long day, as every day is for a guide. It's a lot of work to be a guide. You know, a lot of fun, but a lot of work.
No problem, Roger. I really enjoyed being on the program, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, great. Well, hopefully all of you have found the archive on our website. If you're new to Ask About Fly Fishing, look for the links to the archive. It's the bottom of each page. There's a link on the homepage. We're getting up close to our 200th show now, so we're having the countdown here. It's we've been doing this since 2006, and we have just a ton of shows for you to listen to. In fact, we have another one on the Platte River by Mark Bonham that we did several years ago. So check that out, too. Look up North Platte. You'll find another show we did on that area, the North Platte up there. So lots of things to listen to. Well, our next broadcast is going to be on July 2nd and 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. On that show, I'll interview Tad Burke, and our topic for the show will be Dorado on the Fly. Tad's a professional guide down in the Florida Keys, and he fishes for tarpon, permit, trout, and Dorado. So we're going to learn a bit about how we get Dorado on the fly. So listen in, learn his secrets about hooking up with these beautiful but elusive fish. We'd like to thank the Federation of Fly Fishers, Platte River Fly Shop, Amato Books, Harper Creek Fly Fishing, Front Range Anglers, Housatonic Outfitters, and Power Fibers Magazine for sponsoring our show tonight. If you think your company would benefit from sponsoring one of our shows, please give us a call at 1-800-985-1673. That's 1-800-985-1673, and we'll be happy to explain the options available to you. Don't forget to visit our website, askaboutflyfishing.com, and make sure you sign up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Thanks for listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. That's it. Good night, everyone, and good fishing.